what's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 7-11 on this Thursday night following Cousins Corner. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock, and it's a Thursday, so that means family game night. Got you covered this evening until 10. Got a lot to talk about with the 76ers. We'll get to some other things with the Birds and the Phillies later on as well. 9:45, the Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. So we have a packed show here tonight as we hang with you for 3 hours until 10 o'clock on this Thursday night. 2 days away now from the beginning of the Eastern Conference playoffs for the 76ers. Round one, hosting the Toronto Raptors. 6 p.m. start time at the Center in South Philadelphia. Love a Saturday game instead of a Sunday game. Quite honestly, the 6 o'clock is a really good start. And they have the first two games Saturday and Monday back here in Philadelphia. But if you were listening to the crossover with Anthony during Cousins Corner, I mentioned to Ant and asked him the question, because of how people feel about this squad, going in with James Harden now, the newest addition of the team, why you make the trade? You make the trade to have a big push to bring James Harden in to be the secondary guy to Joel Embiid, but he's not just any ordinary secondary player. He's an NBA top 75 of all-time player, a Hall of Famer, still an All-Star this season, and we know he can still do things that are very productive and positive for your basketball team in order for you to win out there on the floor. But there's still some concern about what this team will be. But when you also look at being the 4 seed, although you have the second best record in the Eastern Conference behind Miami, tied with Boston and Milwaukee at 51 and 31 on the campaign, you're still a very good basketball team, but there are a lot of questions. There is a matchup here in round one against Toronto that scares a lot of people, myself included. And while I think they will beat Toronto, I do not look at them and disrespect them and think that the Sixers are just going to walk all over them. Should they? I don't know. Could they? Absolutely. I hope so. I hope that's the case and not the 7 that Tyler and I have predicted this series going to. With that, it made me think about the comfort level of where people are right now, because it seems that you're more confident jumping the gun to Miami for round 2, feeling good about beating them because it's the better path versus playing in the second round, Boston or Milwaukee in that second round. You have the Miami Heat. Now, they are the top seed. They've somehow found a way to hang on to that top seed at the very end in the final 2 weeks of the season. They did it. You know, the stuff we saw from Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra, Udonis Haslem, where they were about to scrap and mix it up on the sideline, losing some games down the stretch, but they never gave up the number one overall seed. Yet and still, people feel like the Sixers are going to beat them if they get to the second round, or at least this is your best chance of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals after Toronto by facing Miami versus Boston or Milwaukee. This is the easier path. With that being said, I wanted to ask everybody, as we look at this situation that they're in right now, I still want to talk about this series, how you feel going forward, 2 days remaining. You might have changed your mind from Monday to Thursday with where we are right now and how you feel about this series for the Philadelphia 76ers. But it made me think about the 2018-19 season, where in 19 they were eliminated in the second round of the 2019 playoffs in a 7-game series. After knocking off Brooklyn in 5 games, they lost 4-3 to the Raptors, the eventual champion, and they were loaded. As I mentioned, Butler, Embiid, Harris, Redick, Simmons. Those were some really good players, of course, to form your starting 5. Then you had off the bench some interesting names there as well, with James Ennis, Mike Scott, Amir Johnson, Greg Monroe. You had some names there, as well as Boban Marjanovic was also mixed in there to be a backup. Jonathan Simmons, they made a second-round pick trade for him at the trade deadline. So you had bodies, you had pieces where that might have been the best chance, the best opportunity for the 76ers to win that one, right? That 2019, win that one. In the end, in the Eastern Conference Finals, it was the Bucks falling to the Raptors 4-2. And if you remember, that's where people thought Giannis and Chris Middleton were finally going to take that next step and move on to the NBA Finals because LeBron wasn't around. It didn't happen that way. It was Boston, Indiana, Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Toronto, Orlando. No LeBron James there. So you didn't really have to worry about much. It was wide open. It was Giannis and Boston a little bit there that you had to worry about. Of course, Toronto with the team that we saw in the second round. And the Sixers were a very good team. That was the team for me that I really thought that they were going to get. If they got past that Toronto team, they were tested from the five games against Brooklyn, going against the Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, led squad. They were going to be prepared for that Eastern Conference Finals matchup against Milwaukee going into it. Unfortunately, we never got to see it. It was dismantled the next summer. We saw the bubble playoffs that year, and they were swept by Boston. Okay, now we fast forward to the 2021 season and what the 76ers were doing now with the number one seed. Brett Brown is out. Doc Rivers is in. You still have Simmons, Harris, and Embiid. No more Redick either, but you have a really good team. Matisse Thybulle as a defender. You have so much stuff on the team a season ago where we felt pretty confident that with them being the number one seed, remember, 49 wins in 72 games, a really good percentage for them, winning percentage. They were really good at home, as we know, and we thought that was also going to be the team to advance to the NBA Finals. Finally, getting past the second round, fantastic. Finally get there. You had to go through your bumps and your bruises with Boston, Toronto in the second round. Forget about the bubble. And last year, everything was made up perfectly for you. Taking care of Washington in five. They won that game. Washington, that one game. The Sixers gave them that game, right? And then you get to Atlanta, we're sitting back, oh man, this is going to be it. They're finally going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're going to face a really tough Giannis, who is an MVP already in this league. They make the deal for Jrue Holiday. That team is going to be ready. How do you square up against them? Instead of being the number one seed that advances with home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals, you lose to the Atlanta Hawks in seven as they decide to accelerate their rebuild and where they are standing in the Eastern Conference and beat the Sixers 3 out of 4 at the center and, of course, move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, losing to Milwaukee, who were the eventual NBA champions. That was the team for a lot of folks last season. Now, here we are, 2 days away from this playoff where Tyler and I are sitting at 7. Anthony feels good with 5 or 6. You have so many others that have called throughout the week, Monday through Wednesday, that have talked about simply the Sixers will sweep. The Sixers will win in 5. Why are we giving Toronto so much credit when we are clearly the much better team? This is what we're hearing. This is what people are saying. Toronto is too small. They are a regular season team. It will not work out in the playoffs. Like Ant called him earlier, Pat Riley of the new Toronto Raptors is Nick Nurse. He is not. And the Sixers will handle their business in 5 or 6 against this team. I certainly hope so. I really do. Because I see the issues that I have with the Raptors, how they've given the Sixers trouble all season long, and where they are currently standing as the 4 seed against this 5 seed that is going to be fun. Would I be surprised if they won in 5, the Sixers? No, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Just like I really wouldn't be surprised if they are pushed to 7. Because I think Toronto just simply does things differently to frustrate the heck out of the Sixers. They've had this week off. They've had some time to go over. As I mentioned, James Harden at practice today had a better understanding of some of the plays now that he has had some time to actually look them over, run them through in practice to really get a good feel of what it is the plays are supposed to be doing, the execution of those, and how successful they could be with him now knowing exactly what to do every time out there when the play is called. I'm still sitting at 7. Nothing has changed. We'll get Tyler's thoughts. I don't believe anything has changed with him yet, but I will get there with Tyler soon. I wanted to ask you, as people feel the way you feel about this team going for the start of this Eastern Conference playoffs against the Raptors, beginning on Saturday, 6 o'clock here on the Fanatic. Seems you were really, really comfortable with those other two teams. Maybe not so much with this one. Again, myself included. I've already laid out all the reasons why I've had my concerns. We didn't think that they were really a contending team until the James Harden trade. That pushed it for a lot of people, but he's also done some things where it has kind of gave people a little pause of going that far with the Sixers, with James Harden now part of this team. So as we look back to 2019's team, the 2021 team, playoff-wise, and now this 2022 team, which one did you feel had the best chance, including this season? The Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick squad from 2019, or the 2021 squad with Simmons and Embiid, with, of course, Harris and the others, Maxey coming in, mixing him in as well, or this one, having the best chance to, number one, get past the second round, but then eventually moving on to the NBA Finals? And what's the difference from those other two teams that you had the confidence that you may not have it with this particular squad, where they have a pretty good road, potentially, to get to the Eastern Conference Finals? Anthony and I agreed that it is most likely for us that 2019 playoff team with Butler and Redick and everyone else that I mentioned, with Ennis and Jonathan Simmons coming off the bench, with Amir Johnson and Greg Monroe giving you some minutes, which turned out to not to be a great, you know, thing for them, but it was what it was. And Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott, and what they were able to have on that team. Furkan Korkmaz was still there. Shake was there. I believe TJ was still a part of that team at that time as well. TJ McConnell. And the others had since moved on, with Landry Shamet, Dario Saric, Robert Covington. They had been moved on to their respective teams at that time. So thinking back to those two squads, 19 playoffs, 21 playoffs, which was a gut punch last season. And of course the shot from 19. Now we look at this one. What did those teams have that maybe you wish this team had that doesn't give you the same confidence for this particular group to advance as far as you thought the others would in this upcoming playoffs beginning this weekend? 610-632-0975. Last night I asked Matt Minark, and I'm going to ask Tyler the same thing before we take a break. No, we'll give it to Tyler, let him think about it, and ask for the over-under of Saturday, how many times we see a still shot or the actual play finishing Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry-led team that season. All right, that's it. That's what we're starting with. We'll get to the NFL as well. I know Hassan wants to talk about the NFL. We'll get there as well. Let me give out the numbers. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Thursday night, 2 days away from the start of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Sixers hosting the Raptors in Game 1 at the center. 19 playoffs, 21 playoffs. Those two teams, they were highly regarded going into those runs. Way more than I think with this one. What's causing you to have a little pause with this team, where they have a better, maybe second player than they did with the other two teams that were eliminated in the second round? 610-632-0975 is also family game night. Tyler will tell us what we're doing on this Thursday night. Come right back. We'll take your phone calls. Hassan, we'll get with you right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975 on this Thursday night, a family game night. Tyler Zuli is here as well. 610-632-0975. Before we get to the phones, Tyler, I threw that last thing out there about how many times will we see either a still shot or the video of Kawhi Leonard and the shot. You had time to think about it during the break. What do you think?
A lot is the answer. And I know that that's like such a cheap way out, but the answer is a lot. I think you're going to probably see it at the onset of the pregame show. You will see it probably coming out of at least one timeout in the first half. And then you will see it, especially when they get back to Toronto for games three and game four. You'll probably see it then, too. I would bet you probably see it the still and the video combined.
So what's the over-under?
I would say, especially if it goes seven like you and I predict, probably 7.5 times. At least once a game.
Wow. 7.5. So Matt last night said 5.5. 5.5. Man. All right. And I know one thing. I'm happy that I'll be at the arena on Saturday, where on Saturday we'll be there, so I won't have to see it. But I know when we start to do the road games, which begin next Wednesday, and 8 days, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you know TNT is going to feast on.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts. The 19 playoff team, the 21 playoff team, this one. Which one were you more confident in? And if anything, why were you more confident in one of those other two teams versus this one?
Yeah, I think that this is a pretty easy answer. It was last year's team by a lot. And it's no discredit to the Jimmy Butler team, and I thought that team was really, really good. This year's team, I don't believe, is really, really good. I believe that they have the makings of a team that can be good, but they've not shown me enough, especially in the Harden era where it's all come together as fluidly as we'd like. Last year was the team. I was sitting there preaching in March that, remember, the season was started later and didn't finish until later. I was sitting in March telling everybody that it becomes almost inexcusable if this team doesn't get to the NBA Finals. Not just the Eastern Conference Finals, the NBA Finals. And then you figure it out from there, whether it was going to be Phoenix or whoever the case might have been. Last year's team had me by the you-know-what.
Yep.
They had your full attention. They had my entire capacity of my brain. I didn't care that the Phillies were playing. And as much as I cared about the NFL draft, everything centered around this Sixers team for me last year because, as you said, they were the one seed. They got let's be honest, Washington stunk, and they were drug into the playoffs by Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
They got a great matchup in the first round. They got an opportunity to play a team that, as we talked about before, they were either going to play a really good defensive team with zero offense or a really good offensive team with zero defense. One of those two things were going to be a mismatch for that other team, for the Sixers team. To me, it was like they were going to literally walk to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you figure it out from there. That team had my entire brain capacity, and for most of us, we're still not over that game or that series and that game in particular. I don't think it's particularly close. Last year's team was the one that I was the most confident in.
Let's not forget, too, last season when we always talk about the Simmons thing in Game 7 in the fourth quarter, non-shooting quarters for him. Let's not forget, too, as I was reminded, also, the Game 4 where Embiid missed the layup at the end of Game 4.
Yes.
People forget about that one, too, where that was, you blow the lead, which was a 16-point lead, and then, again, Embiid misses a close one to put them on the board for that particular game. And, a lot of them. I'm going to go with the 19 team, and I'm curious to see where others go with this conversation. 610-632-0975. Let's start things on the phones. Let's go check out Sporty in Princeton. Which one? All right, let's start off with Sporty in Princeton, tipping things off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sporty, what's going on, man?
What's up, Devon? I saw you at the game. I don't know if you remember. I shouted Devon.
Which game? Which one? The last game, Detroit?
Yeah, last game of the season.
All right, when you were sitting in the seat?
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate you calling me out. Thanks, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, I think the 19 team, as far as talent, was the best one because of the pass. The team last year, just having to beat the Hawks, hosting a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup with the Bucks, they look like they had maybe the best chance. But I actually think it's a good thing that there's like no expectations for the Sixers team, because like it looks like people aren't going to be let down if they lose.
Even with the Harden trade, because there have been many people, Sporty, that have said this season and next season they have to get it done between this one and next one.
Yeah, no. I thought once they got Harden, I thought they were going to make the finals, and I think a lot of people have been disappointed, which. I almost think it is good because if there was like too much pressure on Harden to perform, people are almost expecting him to just stink. But I mean, if he's anywhere close to just like, it's just bizarre with him, because even with the Nets last year, if you looked at that game five where he was just injured, he still put up 20 points. He can get to the line. I've never seen anything like it where he just like it's like he almost lost something in the last 6 weeks. But if he's able to turn it on, I mean, like this team's right in there. Like I guess Phoenix, Milwaukee, the Nets, and the Warriors are probably the big four. But if James Harden is anything close to the real James Harden, I think they can win it all, honestly. As crazy as it sounds.
Wow, so you have more confidence based on everything you just said at the end. More confidence in this one than you did in the other ones at this point.
I don't know about more like if James Harden is actually as good as he's supposed to be,
right?
Then yeah, I just don't know why he is.
And that's the thing. We don't know why, but we do know that he is there. And he was brought here to put them over the top. If he is that guy, he is a great second guy behind Joel Embiid. Can take some of the pressure off of Embiid. Oh, it does 100%. And that's why I'm saying, that's why I'm curious about people going into this one about this particular team and their chances, knowing that things are, let's call it for what it is, even though you have the defending champions, things are wide open at least until you get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. All right. It's all good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, give us a series prediction, and then we're going to start family game night with you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, just because of Joel Embiid, I'm going to go Philly in six. I think Joel Embiid might have a 50-point game. Just because of him, I'm going like sixes and six.
Sixes and six. Okay. Ty, let's start things off with Sporty and family game night.
Let's
I don't know what we're doing, so Sporty was finding out together.
So, Devon, you and I were chatting before the show, and you're like, we should do something Sixers. And I say, yeah, we always do something Sixers when it comes playoff time, but it's appropriate to do something Sixers. So what we're going to do is take a look back at the history of the Sixers playoff runs.
Okay.
As we get set, this will be our last game night before the playoff run starts. So I'm going to ask you some Sixers playoff trivia questions. It'll be about series and particular opponents that they may have faced.
Okay.
So we will start with this one. Let us go back to the last time the Sixers went to the NBA Finals, which, of course, was the magical 2001 season in which they played three opponents before they lost inevitably to the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Of those three opponents that they played on their way to the NBA Finals, Sporty, give me two of them.
They played the Lakers and...
Before the Lakers. Lakers don't count.
Ooh, okay. So they played the Bucks, didn't they? In the conference finals? And Indiana, I think. They played Indiana in the first game.
There you go. It was Indiana, Toronto, and Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And for a lot of people, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend. Enjoy the series overall. People forget because of the shot, the Vince Carter miss, that it was always Toronto and not Milwaukee. Milwaukee was actually the Eastern Conference Finals. And boy, they had to earn that when AI had to miss a game because of his hip. And they fought in that game on the road in Milwaukee. I think Aaron McKee had a big game in that game where AI sat out. I think it was game four against the Milwaukee Bucks. And you also remember they lost game one to the Indiana Pacers on a Sunday afternoon. I remember it. Sunday afternoon, Sixers lost, and we're like, oh boy, here we go. They can't beat Indiana, and they're the number one seed. They lose the home opener to the Pacers. This is not good. They came back and they took them down.
Well, remember, too, if you go back to 2 years prior, they had lost to Indiana in back-to-back playoff series.
That was the team that they were trying to get over the hump. You know, that was the team. That was the when we talk about Milwaukee from 2019 and they didn't advance, Toronto beat them. That was the Sixers, where they had to get past Indiana. And once they believed, I think, once they got past Indiana, they knew that they were good enough to do what they needed to do in the rest of the playoffs during that run. Yeah. All right. That's cool, man. We'll get some Sixers questions here on Family Game Night on this Thursday. 610-632-0975. Let's take this football call from Hassan, and then we'll get back to the Sixers in a second. But Hassan is with us. We want to talk a little NFL draft. Hassan.
What's up with you, bro? You know we're going to talk Sixers at the Sixers game. Me, you, and Nate, we're going to see each other again.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
I definitely wanted to talk about, because they're going to have another one of my family members, Trayvon Grimes, back into camp. He got hurt last year. He played for University of Florida. He's a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be back in camp this year.
Good luck.
But I wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, the Ohio State wide receiver is in town. We need a wide receiver super bad, right?
Yep.
And I don't want us to wait to the last minute of Jalen Hurts' career or towards the end and not give him the adequate weapons in order for him to succeed. We need wide receivers super bad. And in order for us to really be successful, how are we going to have to put the right team around him offensively? Because Tampa Bay game proved that we couldn't score. And this is an offensive league now. Defense does help, but we need offense bad, and we got to put the right wide receivers around Jalen Hurts in order for him to really be successful.
No, they do. Now, the question is, and I was looking when we were doing the show yesterday from the Workhorse, make sure I say it right, Workhorse Brewery in King of Prussia. And after we were done, they had the NBC Sports Philadelphia Eagles only mock draft up on the screen. I don't remember who picked it, but the first one that they had up on the screen, Son, was Jameson Williams with their first pick coming off the ACL, as we know. But that was the first pick for whoever was putting together. I don't know if it was a draft where they went in order with the four people or whatever it was, Barrett and Danny Pommels and Dave Zangaro. I remember everybody. Maybe it was Ruben Frank too, but they had Jameson Williams up there on the screen as one of their guys that was taken very early. So would you be okay with that?
Barring that injury, he's this year's Ja'Marr Chase. I would be super happy about that. You know, we can wait. You know, I know you follow up on everything, but you see Floyd Mayweather's promise in regards to a team picking up Antonio Brown.
I
picked up Antonio Brown.
I did.
You know, if he's willing to bet on $20 million, come on, all right, we take Antonio Brown, we draft Jake.
But do you want that type of personality in your locker room with the young guys that you're trying to, including Jalen Hurts? Do you want that guy in there doing exactly that?
No and yes.
Being him?
No and yes. The reason why yes, I'm going to tell you yes first, because at the end of the day, he's trying to redeem himself.
Right? Is he?
I think so, because he's at the end. You know, and NFL stand for not for long. He's trying to make a little bit more money before he go out the door. You know, and then kind of rejuvenate his career so he can have a career after football. I know he want to be a rapper, but at the end of the day, I'm sure he'll be a great commentator. So why not rejuvenate your career? You know, he was a great player. You know, show that you're great. You know, teach some young players, help them out, help a young quarterback, and then groom some of these young wide receivers to be great. I think that'll redeem his legacy. So I think that's the yes part. But the no part, if he's going to be the old Antonio Brown, I don't want him at all.
All right, got you, man. Son, you want to do the Family Game Night Sixers trivia?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Ty, what we got?
It's going to be a little different music this time, assuming I can make my board work.
All right.
I guess you got to put the fader up for it to actually...
That's okay.
To make sound.
That's
huh?
All right.
All right, so in 2008-2009 and 2007-2008, back-to-back years, the Sixers, as the lower-seeded team, started off a series in the first round up 2-1 and eventually lost the series both times, losing 3 consecutive games. In those two series, give me either team that they lost those two series to.
Either team, it had to be
Toronto?
Was it Miami? Oh,
not Miami either. They
2008,
lost 2008, 2009? 2008, 2009, and 2007, 2008. They lost to Miami, by the way, in 2010.
In 2010.
The two teams that you were looking for were either the Orlando Magic in 2009, well, the spring of 2009.
That was the Dwight Jamir team.
The year before that, the Detroit Pistons.
Ah, I forgot about the Pistons in that one. Son, thanks for the call, man. See you at the arena. Yeah. I forgot about the Detroit team.
Two games to one on both of those teams.
The Orlando one, I remember.
Lost three straight.
Because if you remember, too, Dwight had gotten into, I think it was, he's been dealing with, like, technicals and stuff for a while. He was suspended, and Marcin Gortat, I think he was a rookie or
young
Marcin
Gortat,
came in.
You remember who lit up that series, right?
For the Orlando Magic?
Yeah.
Was it Turkoglu?
Yeah, Hedo Turkoglu was unstoppable in that. And that's just because the Sixers stunk.
Yeah,
but.
And the way that they play, I mean, think about when we talk about positionless basketball right now. I'm not going to say that they were positionless, but they had guys who can do multiple things. You could allow Jamir to go off the ball and be a scorer when you had Turkoglu handling the ball. All right, if Jameer's on, now you got Rashard Lewis knocking down
Rashard Lewis was good that year, too. They had a super young JJ, too, didn't they?
Yeah, he didn't really play that much, but he was, yes, on that team, if I'm not mistaken. He was still on that team before he was traded to Milwaukee. At the trade deadline. So, yeah, I like that team. Jamir was there. Was that the NBA Finals team that they had?
Yes. Yeah,
so
they
Jamir
lost
got
the Lakers.
Hurt. Jamir got hurt during the regular season, so Jamir wasn't playing in that one. That was skipped to my Lou, Rafer Austin. He was handling things. Anthony Johnson was a point guard on that team. I just like that team that they had. That
yeah, that was a year after Anything Is Possible.
Man, get out of here.
You know I had to do it.
I know you.
You know I had to do it.
Yeah, I know you did. I know. Anything is possible. It's possible they didn't do anything
to
else
win one championship.
Now, look, I give them the credit. They got there again, but they lost to the Lakers in seven, where Ron Artest went crazy. Kobe couldn't hit a shot, but what do great players do? They find other ways to help you win, and he rebounded the heck out of that ball. I think he had like 15 boards in that game, if not more. When Ron Artest decided to go crazy as a scorer and do what he needs to do in that fourth quarter to help bring it home for the Lakers in that game seven. So Doc Rivers might have had two titles. It might not have people all over his back right now. Tell you what those guys said
I think it's deserving even if he had two. Because it's a routine thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you make of the Chris Olave thing?
Oh, I love Chris Olave. I'm going to do an article in probably a couple days, maybe Tuesday, and continue my series on ranking the positions, but, you know, coming out of the draft. I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneak peek. Chris Olave is my number one receiver. He has been for a while.
Okay.
Now, there's probably like six or seven guys that could be in the top five. There might be even like eight or nine guys that could be in the top five. And there's going to be a lot of people that go, well, you forgot this guy. Chris Olave is my number one.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say about London. So... I can't wait. Can't wait to see. All right. 610-632-0975. Adam, hang on. You'll be first when we get back. Brian as well. We got everybody there. 610-632-0975 as we hang on with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Family game night as well as we talk a little Sixers, mixing in some birds. We have questions there. And Phillies later as well on this Thursday night, talking some hoops. 19 playoff team for the Sixers, the 21 playoff team for the Sixers, and this current one, which one did you feel more confident going into the playoffs about, and what did those two teams have that made you feel maybe better than you do about this one? We'll take your phone calls as we go until 10. We'll come back, get the 8 o'clock hour started here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Look at that. 8 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. That was fast. First hour, quickly done. 7 o'clock hour. Man, that went by quick. 610-632-0975. I was looking at a couple of things. Zach Lowe's All-NBA team, his first team is out. Want to get to that, but I wanted to ask you this before we get to the Twitter poll. Tyler, because I was looking at this tweet, and then we'll get to Adam next. This Alyssa Stone Leahy on Twitter. Listen to this. Apparently, did you used to have show and tell and stuff? Or, you know, of course, take your lunch, and you always want a certain thing for lunch when, you know, snack.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't more show and tell. When I was reading, I'm like, oh, this is a show and tell thing. She was like, no. Listen to this. Apparently, my kid got in trouble today for packing our toaster in his backpack.
Wait, what?
And pulling it out at lunch to make Pop-Tarts for his class. I can't stop laughing. Man, he got in trouble for taking the toaster.
Listen,
but he was providing snacks and treats for the rest of the class.
Here's the thing.
My man.
If you...
Or a young lady.
Are stupid enough or smart enough. One of the two, because I can't
It was a little boy.
I can't quite decide which one it is. If you feel... Let me maybe put it this way. If you feel fearless enough to grab the toaster off the counter, not have your parents or your guardian or whomever takes you to school notice it, get to school, and whip out the toaster to get the Pop-Tarts cooked... Good for you.
That's quality work
right
there.
Good for you.
That is really
good
work.
You know what? If I were that teacher, I'd be like, you know what? I would assume it's a little kid.
It's a little boy.
Listen, you're not using the toaster, but like, give me the Pop-Tart. I'll put it in there for you.
First
of
all,
you can have your snack.
I'm guessing not only did he pack the toaster, but all of the Pop-Tarts for the class. Now, was this already done where it was... You know how your birthday, you bring in the cupcakes.
Yeah, you bring snacks of some
kind.
Right,
the parents do all of that. Did the parents bring the Pop-Tarts? That's where their focus was. They were worried about the Pop-Tarts. He said, oh, I'll do you one better.
Let me grab the
toaster. The only way to eat Pop-Tarts is to toast them and not just out of that little bag that
foil
they're in.
Foil bag thing.
Yeah, the little foil bag. And this is the way to go.
That's bold, man.
I got to commend the little guy for that. Not to mention you also have, when you put that toaster in your bag, all the potential crumbs from the use. Unless you shake the crumbs out every day.
Speaking of toasters,
you got all that in your backpack.
I was 28 years old, which is now, when I realized for the first time that they have a little crumb tray.
Oh, really?
I had no idea.
Really?
Literally had no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just because, like, when like the chores got divvied up when I was living at my mom's,
that was one thing
I didn't do that. Like I didn't clean the kitchen very often.
Did your brother have to do it?
I don't think
so. And even if you didn't have to get the crumbs from the toaster.
Right.
Mom did that.
We did more of the, like a lot of the outside, like cut the lawn, stuff.
Leaves,
like, yeah,
dude, fresh,
exactly.
Sweep.
Shovel, yep. when shovel came around. And obviously it was imperative, keep your room. I didn't do it, but that was the rule, was keep your room clean. Wow. My room was a mess. Wow. But I found that out the other day. I'm like, I picked the toaster up and to clean and to wipe the counter down. I'm like, what's this little slide thing? Oh, interesting.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, I'm the only one that didn't know it was there.
Well, that's
good. Because my wife looked at me like I was stupid.
That's good work. Good work by that kid to not only, I'm guessing, let's just assume that he also... had the wherewithal to bring the Pop-Tarts in to pack the toaster. My man.
What's the go-to Pop-Tart?
I don't like Pop-Tarts.
None of them?
No.
There's like 1,000 flavors.
And they're all done.
Oh, come on.
They're all done to me. No.
Here's the thing.
I used to.
You're a snack guy.
I used to eat them when I was a kid.
Because you have like the Tasty Cakes or
all the... All the time.
The whatever.
All the time.
No, that's
not
crazy.
A Pop-Tart.
That surprises me.
The girls like Pop-Tarts.
That surprises me.
I don't like Pop-Tarts. I used to eat the strawberry frosted when I was a kid.
I like the s'mores ones.
Yeah. No, thank you. You can have all the Pop-Tarts. All yours. Enjoy. You and him in that class. You guys can have all the Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, I'm going to start bringing my toaster
bring
to work.
Bring the toaster in here as well. 610-632-0975. All right, give us the Twitter poll that you put up on 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. We'll get to Adam after that. What you got?
Yeah, so the question was kind of talking about what we were discussing is, of these three teams, which of them did you have the most confidence in heading into the playoffs? So the 2019 team with Jimmy Butler, the 2021 team, last year's team, the one seed, or this year's 2022 team. You got about an hour and 40 minutes left to vote on this thing. We have 431 votes. 62% of the votes on this poll, Devon, agree with you. And they say the Jimmy Butler team at in 2019, 25% agree with me. They say the 2021 team, just 13% say this current iteration. My assumption is because James Harden's on this roster.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, cool. Jimmy Butler squad. That was my guess. What about you? The 2019 playoff team, the 2021 playoff team, this one. Which one did you feel more confident going into? There were a lot of people who were really, really strong in their beliefs that the Sixers were going to the NBA Finals. Not just the Eastern Conference Finals, the NBA Finals in both 19 and 21. And while I may not have heard that so far this year, we have had some that say they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to beat both Toronto and Miami for a lot of folks out there, but I just don't have that. I just don't hear it like we heard it with those two teams. Why not? What's the difference? What's the difference? The path seems to be a lot easier. Well, even though you're going through the number one seed, you match up pretty well against Miami. Let's go to Adam in Germantown next on 97.5. What's up, Adam?
Words. Doc Rivers seems to lack a general feel of game flow. Doc Rivers has trouble identifying when to adjust his rotations and is just awful out of a timeout. Right. Okay. Laiton Chander, let me see. He played no NBA basketball and no college basketball and has never been associated with either. Right. Okay. I hope you have him on after the Sixers are done winning this whole thing. The way I look at this now, after hearing Doc Rivers and seeing Doc Rivers, I can tell he's got this 2022 NBA championship and he's not giving it up. And if you want to know where I think this is all won, is that I think Danny Green remains in the starting lineup. I think Matisse Thybulle continues to come off the bench after this first round. He'll still play the same minutes. And what'll happen is the Sixers will play solid perimeter defense, solid interior defense. And what people aren't counting on and don't seem to quantify is the fact that Sixers are one of the top teams in half-court execution. And, like, if you look at Toronto, you're looking at a team that's 26th in half-court execution, okay? So I don't even care about the offensive rebounding because Doc Rivers, the fact that he's going to put in Paul Reed at power forward.
We don't know if it's going to be power forward. We don't know that.
Okay. Well,
I agree with you though, where I've looked at that one, Adam, and I've wondered, of course, and asked out loud to some of the callers, will we see Paul Reed at the 4 minutes a little bit as well? While Embiid is on the floor.
When necessary, he's going to do it.
Interesting. Okay.
And he will keep him, like he said, as a small ball five. And I can tell how confident he is when he says, when the tall backup fives come in, the bigger ones, he said, I'm comfortable with DJ. Now,
he when can't I play in this series.
Well, right. Exactly. So I'm going to look at this. Total, in totality, where the Sixers dominate these other teams, and you're going to hear this sentence a lot in these games. Damn, it looks like blank should be ahead by a lot of points, but Philadelphia is up by five because they're 20 of 24 from the free throw line, and we're only in the third quarter.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. First of all, even though this game has changed in the league, where things get, so up and down, the outside shooting, how important it is. At the end of the day, we know it does come down to the half-court basketball. And the one thing, what do I always say, Tyler, when it comes to the people complaining about Embiid and Harden getting fouled? Stop fouling them. Doc Rivers said that today. My answer has been, stop fouling them. Doc, not another way. I know we talk sometimes, but using my words, my man, stop fouling them. But to your point, Adam, they're going to get to the foul line because that's what Embiid does. It's impossible not to foul him because he's such a dominant player. They're going to send him to the foul line. James Harden will get his fair share. You hope that the others are aggressive, too, where they have those nights where you look up. To your point, Adam, again, with the 20-plus in the third quarter, that Tyrese Maxey has 5 or 6 free throws. Tobias Harris has 5 or 6 free throws because they're being aggressive, going to the basket, getting those opportunities, make or miss at the rim, but certainly making those free throws when they get there. Listen, man, give us a, we already gave you a prediction, so let's go to the family game night trivia question.
No, I don't want the trivia question.
Oh!
Here it is, okay? 16-7, and that they win the 16 games.
Wow.
They lose 7. They never face elimination. And stop with the debating and stop insulting Doc Rivers and stop trying to coach him. I'm not telling you. I'm telling the media. Stop telling Doc Rivers how to coach. He's got this. This 2022 NBA championship is the Sixers, and he's not.
Wow. Adam is back on the 22 championship run there. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Wow.
I'm going to keep calling him out for stuff that he does that I think is stupid.
First of all, he's back at them winning the championship.
Yeah, that's
he changed his mind, and now he's back on there. So he already with this week, they haven't even played a game, and he feels good. Wow. You still going to criticize Doc?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to criticize. Listen, I've never played collegiately. I've never played. I hardly played any high school. I'm going to, when I see things that I think are malpractice or out of practice, I'm going to call them out on it. Just like I'll call Joe Girardi out on it. Just like I call Nick Sirianni out on it. Just like I call Mike Yeo out on it. Just like I'll call Jim Curtin out on it, even though he doesn't really need it right now because they're the only undefeated team in the MLS. But the point being is, if I see something out of practice, I'm going to call them out on it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the forum in which we do this.
No doubt about it. 610-632-0975. Looking back at the 19 playoff team, the 21 playoff team, and this team, before we even get started, which one did you feel more comfortable with? Because I know in 18, the 18-19 squad, that was the 19 playoffs with Butler, Redick, Harris, Embiid, and Simmons. That was the one for me where I was the most disappointed after losing to Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry in that second round matchup. Beating the Milwaukee Bucks, the Raptors did, catching the Golden State Warriors with the injuries. Now, I'm not saying that those would have happened if the Sixers would have gotten to the finals against Golden State and those injuries would have occurred for those guys there with Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. But what I am saying is that was the best one for me. That was when I was at, I was like, oh, yeah, this one, they're going to the finals. Will they win it? I don't know that, but they're going to the finals. Last season, I said they were going to the Eastern Conference Finals because we had already seen, again in the regular season, what Milwaukee was at that time last year. But we felt that was going to be the Eastern Conference Finals matchup. Get past Washington, get past New York or Atlanta, and they spit it up.
Well, it's
against the Hawks.
The reason that I felt so good about it outside of their matchups in the first two rounds was, it was like almost like a triangle thing here where I was looking at it and I'm like, all right, yeah, I don't feel good about the Sixers' chances against Milwaukee. You and I talked about that extensively. I didn't feel good about their chances against the Bucks, but I thought that the Bucks would beat the Sixers would beat the Nets, and the Nets would beat the Bucks. And that's why when we were looking at the way that the bracket shaped up, if the Nets could have beaten the Bucks and they were literally a toe length away
right.
from potentially doing
Irving
so.
Irving was already out. Harden was out. It was just Kevin Durant.
Right. I would have felt much better about the Sixers' chances. And that's why in that kind of triangle of how things shaped up, if the Nets were to have beaten the Bucks, and obviously the Sixers beat the Hawks, but that's a different story, was I felt good about that run to the NBA Finals, and that's why I took it a step further than you.
Okay, you got it. 610-632-0975. Tyler, you got to get a toaster in here. That kid is amazing. Love that.
You're not going to eat the Pop-Tart anyway.
No, I'm not. I can pass him on to Brian in Philly here next on the phone, 97.5. What's up, Brian?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, bear with me. I'm kind of nervous.
Don't be nervous, man. You're talking with some friends here. No big deal. It's just regular. You're on the phone. No big deal.
You're right. Well, I mean, I kind of agree on that Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick team. I feel like, you know, all things that have happened the same way, I think they would have won that championship, you know?
That was the squad, man. That was the squad.
It was. But I got confidence in this squad, you know. Because I feel like James Harden and them, I feel like James Harden going to come off. I feel like Maxey going to have, he going to prove himself as a star. And I feel like Embiid going to do what Embiid do. And Tobias Harris, you know, he's probably still got a chip on his shoulder about the last year not being an all-star. So he might want to have a little something to prove and, you know, feel like he worth that money.
I hope so. I mean, we look at them, and Brian, when we start talking about X factors and things of that nature for the series, you would have to believe that those two players, we have our eyes on them to see what they do as a supporting cast to Joel Embiid. Maxey had a big game six against the Hawks to help force a game seven. Last playoffs, Tobias Harris has had his moments, but he's also had some tough moments. And now with him still finding his way but feeling a little more comfortable out there on the floor with James Harden, what are we going to get? What are we going to see? And how many points, right, that you're looking at from your top four of Embiid, Harden, Harris, and Maxey in order for them to win these games? So those two guys are really going to have to lay it all out there for this team to advance past the Raptors.
Right. Well, you know, I think you're going to need 30-plus from Embiid every game, probably 25-plus from Harden. And I expect even Maxey to throw in 20. And I think Tobias Harris, on a surprise, is going to throw 18 to 20 every game. I just got a feeling about this squad, you know. I kind of like when it's slept on by everybody, because it seems like when everybody's high on them, they blow it. And when, you know, I like kind of like leaning towards the underdog thing, you know, and I feel like they got something.
Okay. I like it. So the Sixers win this series and how much?
I think it's going to be a sweep.
Oof. All right, I have him in seven, but you're not the first one to say a sweep. Brian.
Clean sweep.
Okay, listen, I like it. Actually, let him lose the game. Yeah, you take it in five so they can, you know, be prepared for the Miami Heat.
It's better for the psyche.
Yeah, just lose one game. Yeah, you can't go into Miami thinking that, you know, you're the hot stuff.
Yeah.
So,
that'll have us without a chest puffed out. I know.
Let's throw you. You want to take a question? The Sixers question trivia.
Sure. You know what? Knowing my luck, I'm gonna try.
You're gonna get it. Let's do it.
All right, Brian, here's your question. You guys up 1-0 right now. In the 1989 and 1990 seasons, the Sixers won one playoff series before falling in the second round each of those two seasons. They beat the Cavaliers in 89. They beat the Bucks in 1990. Each year, they lost to the same team in the second round. Which team did they lose to in those back-to-back seasons?
1990?
89 and 90, yep.
89-90. Was it Boston?
It's not.
I have two teams. 89. What was this? What was it? 89-90, 90-91. Chicago. Yeah. All right. You got it, B.
Oh.
Yeah, Chicago. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, Brian. Don't be a stranger, man. Good to hear from you. Yeah, that was the Chicago Bulls. I think they would lose those series in five.
They lost the series the exact same way both years, too.
In five?
In five.
Yeah, in five.
Lost game one and game two.
Yep.
Game one, game three. Lost games three and four, or four and five.
Four and five, yep. But yeah, I remember those. I was thinking Chicago was my first choice, but it was also Detroit. But I do remember them more playing Chicago and the Rick Mahorn, Charles Barkley squad when he came to play with Charles Barkley. That was more of the like 92, at that time, 92, 93, and playing Detroit. That's when they got into the big fight after they clinched the Atlantic Division that night in Detroit. That was fun. Love those Sixers teams. 610-632-0975. Kevin, you start us off, man. Hang on for us. Vin, Brian, Dan. We have two open phone lines for the first time in a bit if you want to check in. 610-632-0975. We'll read some tweets as well, and we'll keep this conversation going about the 2019 playoffs, the 21 playoffs, and this upcoming playoff series, starting with the Raptors, hopefully a long run into the summer, where they are facing the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. Huh? Ty, who's coming out of the West?
Oh, Phoenix.
All right.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a rematch. I think it's Phoenix and Milwaukee again.
Oh, you eliminating. You just heard Adam tell you the Sixers are going to the Finals.
I don't think so.
All right. On the other side, we'll also tell you who Zach Lowe has as his first team All-NBA squad based on his voting for the NBA awards as well. 610-632-0975. A lot of people not going to like it. Not going to like it. We'll get to that when we get back. Kev's first when we right here on this Thursday night, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so I have more on the Pop-Tart toaster situation from the mom.
Oh, I was going to say, from your take? Because usually I agree with a lot of the stuff you say.
From
the Pop-Tart take is bad.
Ah, no, you know, I don't have a problem sharing my dislike for things, food, tastes, movies, all that stuff. But the mom says, all right, so the teacher actually only told him not to make a habit of it. She says, I wonder how many times makes a habit. Also wonder if I should hide the popcorn popper. So she got a little more information. He took his backpack to the lunchroom, found a spot by an outlet, pulled out the toaster, set it on the seat next to him, and proceeded to toast the Pop-Tarts and pass them around. They only had enough at home for his table, and he didn't charge, right? Sweet kid, just passing them around. Everybody gets a treat. She says they bought the Pop-Tarts because of the kitchen being repaired, and all their meals are right now coming from the microwave and the toaster at the moment. Guess he saw how many we had and figured we had plenty to share. So that's a good kid right there.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, his merit was valuable. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt. He keeps it going. She keeps it going. She shows a picture of the backpack and the toaster. It's a big backpack. The toaster is a decent, I guess, a regular size toaster. Only the two slots,
two
not
by
the
two.
Four.
Okay, right? Just the two.
Yeah, not four or anything like that. So that's good. Also, the teacher was laughing, but just made sure to tell the kid that, you know,
don't
not encouraging and don't do that. Also, the final thing is Pop-Tarts has contacted the mom about sending Pop-Tarts to the school and making a generous donation to No Kid Hungry as well.
That's awesome.
It's a pretty good story.
You know, it's funny. The moment
and the kid was he's 13. He's a cancer survivor.
Okay.
So apparently he's, based on this, how she's saying things, he's a really sweet kid.
Clearly, he was thinking about his fellow classmates. That's
right.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
It's funny, when you told me this story for the first time, all I could think about was, have you ever seen a sign somewhere that is an instruction on, like, don't do, you know, a specific thing, right? And you think about it, and you go, how many times has that had to have happened for the sign to be put in place? Like, how many times did somebody have to try to fight the kangaroo at the zoo before the sign says, like, gotcha, please don't fight the kangaroo at the zoo? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's an extreme example, but you know what I'm saying?
Understood.
How many times did somebody, like, run barefoot in the hallway of the hotel and, you know, break a toe before they have, like, you have to wear socks rule?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
Like, that's all I could think about. They're going to have a rule in school, like, there's going to be a sign, please do not bring home appliances into school.
Yeah. How was it for you when you went to college? Were you allowed to have electronic stuff like that in your dorm room?
Yeah, so
we were not.
I don't even remember.
No hot plate.
All that, yeah, that no hot plate, no...
We couldn't have a microwave either.
We could have a microwave, but we could not have a toaster oven. But it wasn't as strict on the appliances as it was on the booze. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was their big selling point, was like, don't get caught with alcohol because you'll get kicked out.
Right.
You know, like, they probably would have turned the blind eye to if you had a microwave or a toaster oven. But yeah, that was the big thing was like, don't get caught with the booze in the dorm.
Everybody had the toast ovens in their room anyway.
Yeah, of course.
You just covered them up with a towel, sheet, blanket, whatever.
You just put it in the closet.
It was furniture. Basically, that's what it was. It was furniture. So
did you guys have the desks like the with the big backs?
No.
Like we had these. They were basically like bookshelves, right? But they had big backs.
No. Yeah.
So if there was anything we like weren't supposed to have, like the toaster oven, you just put them back to back. And the one that's facing the window, where they can't see if they come into your door frame, you just put all your stuff in there.
Yeah, no.
We had the toaster oven and all that good stuff.
Yeah. That kid is cool though. Taking the toaster.
Yeah, for sure.
Pop tarts.
Trying to get his classmates a snack.
Now the company is reaching out and sending Pop tarts to the entire school. How many of them won't eat it? I don't know. 610-632-0975.
If they don't, I'll take them.
Yes, you would. All right. Here's the before we get to Kev next. Here's Zach Lowe's All NBA first team. Remember, when we were talking about it before, I said it would be a disgrace if both Embiid and Jokic are not on the first team. Only because you can manipulate the positions for every year they do it. Guards can be forwards. Forwards can be guards because of what they do out there on the floor. I thought that with Jokic being a guy who handles the ball as well as he does and as much as he does, running the offense the way that he does with Denver, he would be eligible to be a forward or center, therefore allowing the voters to make Embiid and Jokic a first team guys there as well. So here is his five, Zach Lowe. I've only been able to see the five because ESPN is ESPN Plus, and I'm not paying for that. I'm not doing it. He has at guard. I have no problem with the guards. He has Devin Booker, well deserved, and Luka Doncic. For a long time, it was Steph Curry and Ja Morant, but with their missed games because of injury, that bumped them down probably to second team. So, Devin Booker, 63-win team, got to have him there on the first team. I have no problem with that. And also Luka Doncic, where he has turned things around with the Dallas Mavericks from their start to where they are right now as the third seed in the West. That's a fine backcourt for the first team, all NBA. The forwards, Giannis, no surprise, and Jason Tatum. Also, not worried about that either because he is deserving of it. My only thing, once again, was I felt like Embiid and Jokic should have been on the first team because of their seasons. We're talking about three finalists for the MVP. There's no way that you don't have one as a first team all NBA player. He has Jokic as his center. And if you heard Mike's show yesterday, talked about Zach Lowe explaining why he voted for Jokic as the MVP over Joel Embiid for the award this season. So, again, don't be surprised that when Joel Embiid does not win the MVP. How long have I been saying it now? For 3 weeks?
Yeah, probably about 3 weeks.
Don't be surprised because I don't think he's going to win it. So, there's your five. There's your first team All-NBA according to Zach Lowe with how he put in his ballot for those five guys. All well-deserved. They have all earned the right to be on the first team. So has Joel Embiid. He'll be on the second team, though, because they decided not to manipulate and put him on the first team.
We're going to change the rules so that the guys that are most deserving can benefit from said rule change. Wait, no. We were just kidding. We don't want to do that.
Luka could have been on as a forward or a guard. Put him on a guard. I bet you he's listed as a forward.
Probably.
I bet you he's listed as a forward.
Well, no, because it's Booker and him.
Yes,
right?
But he is a guard. You can choose which one you want to put him as in your five.
And here's the thing with that. Like, I think that manipulating the rules is stupid in the fact that Joel Embiid's not a forward. Neither is Jokic. They don't play any forward. They play the center position. However, at this point, you and I have talked about this before. At this point, just make it the five best players in basketball. Positionless game, positionless voting.
Yep.
The five best players in basketball deserve to be on that ballot.
Yep, I agree.
And I think if that's the case, the five best players in basketball this year have been Luka, Giannis, Morant, Jokic, Embiid. That would be my five.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I would say Devin Booker.
Maybe Booker because Morant's missed time.
Yeah. I would say Booker. And I said 63. I mean, 64 wins they have.
It's a lot of wins. Yeah. I mean, he's the best player on the best team this year.
Exactly. So if he's not going to win the MVP, you got to reward them.
Okay, fine. So take Morant off, put him on, make Morant second team.
Yeah. Tell you what James Harden said later on and see how you feel about what he said as they get ready for the playoffs as well. Kevin in Philly, thanks so much for hanging on. Kev, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Devon? How you feeling?
Pretty good, man. You?
I'm okay. I got a couple quick comments about the Sixers, and then I got a pop chart comment. But as far as the Sixers go, let me jump right in. As far as like the All NBA, I guess I'm sort of, I don't know, I'm sort of old school. Like I know the NBA is going towards positionless basketball, but I'm okay with Embiid probably not making the All NBA team at center. I mean, I guess if you have to choose, I would have preferred him make it over Jokic, but you know, like you were saying, you know, he's neither one of those guys are fours. So you have to pick a center, and if you have to pick one, I mean, I know some people are going to lead towards Jokic, some people are going to lead towards Embiid. Hey, I mean, may the best man win, but I'm just not a fan of. Okay, we're going to pick five players, and those five players are going to make the All-NBA team. Because I think, you know, there's going to be some, like if we did that a few years ago before, this wave of big men taking over, like with the Giannis and the Jokic and the Embiid, but if we did this about, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you may not have had a center. Maybe
you're right.
The All-NBA team.
Yeah.
You know, there will be no big man in it. And that's not fair to, you know, those guys. So,
yeah. But what if they weren't the, you know, top five players in the league that year? What if they were number seven or eight or six? And that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
And I only say that because it's impossible, man. But all three of those guys are your three finalists when they announce the finalists.
I agree.
It's going to be those three. And it is just an award at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But we're talking about what they did, all of them, all season, and being rewarded for what we're talking about.
Exactly.
There's no way that you don't have all three of them on any first team.
And you know what? You know, when these guys are coming to the table with contract talks, that stuff plays a factor.
Oh, it does. Look.
How many first team all in?
Oh, it's bonuses, right? And forget about the contract talk in general. When the contracts are done and they're there, there are bonuses that are maybe missed. There are, a couple hundred or even $1 million because you didn't make an all-star team, or you made second and you made third instead of second, and that type of stuff, Kev. And the media is the one who's making the votes. So I do hear some media say, I don't like making these votes because I don't like being responsible for their money.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. But yeah, you know, and as far as, Embiid getting the MVP, I mean, I'm torn with that too, because like I said, I would want him to win it. I mean, but I understand. I mean, it's not by any fault of his that we lost, you know, a bunch of these big games coming down the stretch, you know, games where if he had a won, I feel like he sealed it, you know, like the game against Milwaukee that we lost, and then the game against the Suns that we lost, where we had a big lead and we ended up losing the lead. I think that if we seal those wins, then it's, I mean, we're not even having this discussion, but I mean, I can understand. I mean, you know, Giannis was sealing the deal, you know, getting those big wins near the end of the season, and so was, you know, and so was Devin Booker, and so was Luka. You know, their teams had big games and they were sealing the wins, and unfortunately, we were coming out on the losing end. And right. I mean, when you were in the MVP race, I mean, yeah, the 30-point games and the 40-point games, you know, those way, but those wins.
My argument, Kev, was always when they had him number one, what did he do to lose it? And the team, well, maybe they didn't win a big game, but they kept winning games. They were number one at one point, and his production never dropped. And that was always my thing. But,
it didn't.
You know, so, hey, give us your thoughts real fast on the playoffs in general.
So the playoffs in general, for me, I hate to say it, Devon, but this isn't the team. Our team isn't the team that I see coming out the East. I would love to be surprised. I would love for Harden to flip the switch, but I don't feel as, the crazy thing is I don't feel as confident about this team as I felt about last year's team or the, or the,
that's why we're asking the question, that 19 team with Butler and Redick.
I don't feel as confident about either one of those teams.
That's why we're asking.
The crazy thing is, I guess if I could put it in two parts, the team that I felt the most had a chance to win it all was that team with Butler on it. But the team that I felt most disappointed in was last year's team. It was last year's team. I mean, the Kawhi shot thing to me, it was a fluke. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but it was a fluke. But last year, I just felt like that was our time.
Fair enough.
To make up for, the fluke shot, and we just couldn't do it.
Fair enough.
I'm going to end it off with the Pop-Tart company. When I was a kid, loved Pop-Tarts. I like them now. Don't love them, but like them. But when I was a kid, I used to be able to eat them straight out the box. Now that I'm older, I can't eat them without them being toasted. And the two flavors that top my list, I don't know if you guys remember. You remember the wild berry, the purple one? The Pop-Tart with the purple
frosting. Tyler says yes. I don't remember
the wild berry and an underrated one. An underrated one, the unfrosted strawberry, the plain strawberry
with just the strawberry in the middle, but nothing on, no frosting on top.
No frosting on top. Throw that in the toaster. Underrated. One of the best flavors.
See, I like the one with the I like the one with the frosting on it. Kev, hold on. We gotta give you a question.
All right.
The trivia. I like, when I was a kid, I liked the one, but my taste bud changed and I didn't like it anymore. all right, Tyler, you got it, man.
All right, 1-1 right now is.
No,
is
I have
score,
two,
okay?
Right?
No.
Okay,
just one.
All right,
right,
but I had two.
I don't know. I'll go back and pull the tape. All right. Anyway, after the year after the Sixers won the NBA Finals, the last time they won, of course, in 1983, the 83-84 season. The Sixers failed to win a playoff series, losing 3-2. To which team?
1984. I'm going to... Was it Boston?
Not Boston.
The Nets. Yeah. Got the Nets on that one, Kev. Yeah, I think that was... Thanks, man. Good to talk to you, Kev. I think that was the Michael Ray Richardson squad? I think it was. I think that was the Michael Ray Richardson squad. But I remember that was after they lost in the first round when they shouldn't have lost in the first round. Yeah.
Lost games 1 and 2.
I thought I had three. I thought I had three, but okay.
Maybe you do.
I'll take a 2.
I don't know.
Advantage.
Maybe you do. I don't know if you're just trying to
no.
Steal
no,
a point or not.
No, I'm not trying to steal a point. I thought I had that.
You know, I think that I probably should do a better job of keeping score considering I am the scorekeeper.
Do you remember the questions?
For the most part.
Yeah.
You got the...
The first caller got the...
The first caller got the
Indiana.
2001 one, right?
Indiana, yes. And the Bucks.
Then
I had... I had the Bulls. I just had this one. Right?
Yes. You got the Orlando one wrong.
Right, I got the Orlando one wrong.
And I think that's the only other one that you got a chance to answer.
I thought there was another one that I'm forgetting now. Because I know I had the Orlando one wrong, but I thought I had another one. Okay, 2-1.
I'll give you the point, sure.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I got to earn it again. I have to earn it again. I'll get another point. I'll get another point. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10, 9:45. Leftovers with Tyler Zuli, who's also here. It's family game night. He's throwing some questions out there for you all. Right now, I'm up 2-1. We're going with 2-1. We're going 2-1. I thought we only missed one of the questions between me and the callers, and that's where I was. But we're up 2-1. We'll get back at it. 610-632-0975. Tell you what Jimmy Butler said in an interview as well about the playoffs as they are near the start of the postseason against the Toronto Raptors on Saturday at the center. We're speaking about the 19 playoff team, the 21 playoff team, and this current group going into the start of the playoffs. They are still the 4 seed. They have a 2-game, better two or three games. I think it was 3 games, better than the Raptors this season. Raptors got the better of them with the three wins out of four. But the Sixers are still a better basketball team. That being said, not a lot of people feeling confident. But then there are a group of people who do feel confident about this squad, which made me and Tyler think about the other teams that had really good opportunities in 19 and 21. Which one did you feel the most comfortable going into the start of the playoffs? For me, it was 19. Tyler went with last season's 21. And not a lot of people feel as comfortable this year. What were the differences of the teams as well? What's missing from this one that maybe made you feel good about the other two? 610-632-0975. Vinny is in West Philly with us tonight on 97.5. Vin.
What's up, Devon? What's going on,
What's happening, Vin? How you been, man?
I'm chilling. Great start. Let's see this action. Hey, but I definitely think the 2019 team was much equipped to go further and better. The roster was way better, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, the starting five was great. You had some pieces off the bench that you felt pretty good about. Yeah.
Good ingredients. We got beat by a better team. I don't think that was a fluke shot. Great players made great plays.
That was a tough shot, though.
When you put the ball near that rim, you know what I mean? You can't call it no fluke. He touched that rim with it.
All right, fair enough. He had the nice rotation, got the roll, bounce, and everything.
Yeah. Right over top Embiid. Like, he had the form and everything.
Yeah, great contest by Embiid. Yep.
Yeah, I give him all his props. But reading this team, I'll actually take Brett Brown over this Glenn Rivers.
Wow.
Look how
we've fallen to go to Brett Brown.
I go to Brett Brown because at least in some game, he starts to improve with the matchups and things of that nature. This guy don't know how to match up. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it ain't shown it lately. I mean, I'm not the guy to say that this guy. What's his name? Bassey or Reed?
Charles Bassey and Paul Reed.
Yeah, but all the fans see it. That's why the fans feel that way, to how Doc Rivers is coming off to the fans. You know, they basically He like Chip Kelly football, basketball.
Well, the one thing that Rivers revealed about Paul Reed was that he was too lost on the floor. He didn't know the plays. He got caught in position too many times, in the wrong position too many times, which hurt the team. And then, of course, eventually it hurt him from getting the run on the floor with them. So he said he has improved with that. How much so? I don't know. For a playoff run, I have no idea. I'm curious how much he does call his number.
I don't like to call the coach out, but I've been watching game one. I ain't seen none of this he said Bassett was doing. He had a few turnovers here and there, and there. Every time he came.
Well, he really talks about Reed. He doesn't even talk about Bassett anymore.
I keep saying Reed. I mean Reed. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I haven't seen none of this from Reed when he came out there. Me personally, I watched a few games down the stretch. For instance, like he say that, like he had Korkmaz playing for like, he started Korkmaz. So Korkmaz played like what, 20 straight starts maybe?
I don't know how many there were, but yes, he did start a few games when they needed
it. Korkmaz's run was horrible.
Yeah. That's why he doesn't get any more run.
Exactly. But look how long it took him to get the run. He was like 20-something games. He wasn't doing nothing. I mean, literally nothing. So for Doc Rivers to say, I can't really take his word on it, Devon, because maybe contradicting it seemed like a little bit. Even if poor Danny Green was like, if Reed would have played more, we may have used him in the playoffs. the only player saying so.
We all thought he should have gotten time. We are here. We'll see what he actually gets. Hey, Vin, give us a series prediction, please.
I say the Sixers in six.
Sixers in six, and would you like a question?
Go ask you for it.
All right, let's see.
All right, whether it's 2-1 or 3-1, callers are down at least one right
now.
Let's
do 2-1.
You've got an opportunity, Vinny, to change that. We just talked about the 83-84 season. The following season, the Sixers had an opportunity to get back to the NBA Finals in the 84-85 season. They won series against the Washington then Bullets and swept the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round. In the third round in the Eastern Conference Finals, however, they fell 4-1. To which team?
What year was this?
84-85.
I'm going to have to go Boom. You said Milwaukee, Dallas. I'm going to go New York.
Not the Knicks.
Can you run it real fast?
Yes,
again?
Yes, 84-85. They won a series 3-1 against the Washington, then Bullets, then swept the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round before falling 4-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Two.
And what team did we just say?
He said New York.
New York, Boston. Yeah, Celtics. Celtics.
Good money, Devon.
You got it, Vin. Always good to catch up, man. Always great to catch up. Celts. Yeah. Can't stand him. 610-632-0975. We'll keep it going with Brian, Dan, Pat. A couple open phone lines for the first time again in a bit. 610-632-0975. Let you know what James Harden had to say about the playoff push and what it means to him. Is there any pressure? Is there any pressure? Tell you what he had to say and how he feels about proving things going forward. We actually just had one drop off, so it's Brian and Dan. And then you, when we come right back, here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. 9:45, The Leftovers, Tyler Zuli, hanging out. We're back tomorrow, Ty. We got a 3-hour run tomorrow after Draft Lines with Jamie Lynch. I'll be starting at 6 p.m. with Jamie Lynch on the Draft Lines show. And then we will go. I'm sure we'll do a lot of the playoff stuff. We'll do the play-in tournament, both games tomorrow, East and West. So we'll do those games with the lines tomorrow. We'll look at some of the specials, the odds boost, everything that's available for you on DraftKings. So we'll have you all covered beginning at 6, and then Tyler and I will go from 7 to 10, and I'd imagine it's the final day for us to really get into it with everybody about the Sixers and the Raptors. Although I will be doing the pregame show beginning at 4 o'clock on Saturday with Bob Cooney following Tyler Zuli.
Yeah, so we'll have an opportunity, just you and I won't be together.
Yes.
We're doing two different shows.
Yes, so we'll do that live from the arena. That's going to be fun. How about this? Eddie Johnson. Love this guy. Eddie Johnson, who calls the Suns games. He's the TV announcer for the Suns games as well. He says, okay, Suns fans, let's do something unique. Men, for the playoffs, let's grow that beard. Yes, you can groom it. But let's make it seem as our team gets ready for the second season. It's not going to be easy, but we are built for it. Eddie Johnson, growing the beard.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a hockey thing forever.
For the Suns run. I know. Yeah. So he's doing that for the Suns as they get ready to embark on another trip to the NBA Finals. 610-632-0975. Oh, man. You see what happened to that Nationals Escobar? You see that?
Yeah, not good.
Not good at all. Not good at all. Tried to pick him off. The pitcher tried to pick him off. He picked him off, Ty. Not good. Not good.
They said he's fine, but Devon, as somebody who didn't enough, that's why you wear the cup.
Gotcha. All right, give us an update on the Twitter poll, and then we'll go to Brian and Conchahokan here next.
Yeah. So the question was which of these three teams, heading into the playoffs, not afterwards, of course, but heading into the playoffs, did you feel the most comfortable with or to make a deep run in their particular seasons? The 2019 team with Jimmy Butler, the 2021 team, last year's team, which was the one seed, or this year's team. And so far, we have a little bit over 500 votes on this one. Hasn't moved too much. 62% of the votes say the 2019 team, 25% say the 2021, and up to 13% now say the this current iteration.
And this team has a chance, too, to get it where everybody was talking about, the Eastern Conference Finals. Should they get past the Raptors, that Miami Heat matchup is very, very intriguing.
You know, it's really funny when you think about the sides in which the brackets lay out. It's like the one side of the bracket, the side they're not on, seems to be the more talented teams because it's, you know, it's Kevin Durant, it's Giannis. It's not that they're the teams that they're facing in this side of the bracket are bad by any means, but it seems to be more top-level talent on that side. And on this side, it seems to be the best coaching because you got Nick Nurse, and then you've got Eric Spoelstra.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. All right, let's get back to the phone, 610-632-0975. A couple minutes, I'll tell you what James Harden had to say about this playoff push. Brian and Conshohocken next on the Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
All right. Hopefully, you're having a good Easter upcoming or Ramadan or whatever we celebrate here. It's been a little while, boys.
Yes, it has been. Hope you're doing well.
Devon, I think you did get that point. Chicago Bulls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Yep, absolutely.
So you're up, what, 2 or 3 now?
So I'm up 4-1. 4-1. Yeah, thank you so much, man. Brian.
Glad to get that.
I'll have to get that later. Yeah.
Well, I was calling in about the Sixers, and I've heard a couple of different takes. Some people are pretty enthusiastic and hopeful that we're going to go pretty far. I think we have a good chance. I think the biggest thing with this whole 2019 versus 2021 and this team is that this year we definitely in the Eastern Conference probably have the stiffest competition. Nobody's really that big of a slouch in the top 4 to 6 teams or so. And, I think we're just as talented as we were in 2019. I mean, you consider like Ben Simmons was on that team and obviously he's not with us anymore, but I just feel like given, when the playoffs slow down and you need guys to get baskets and, Jimmy Butler was that guy on the perimeter and then we had Embiid, but obviously he struggled with Gasol and Ibaka, who obviously aren't there now, that we at best have at least the same chance, in my opinion, because we didn't have a Tyrese Maxey that's playing the way he did or has played this year, last year, and we didn't have Tyrese Maxey, certainly not in 2019. Tobias Harris was the fourth option, and obviously Simmons would contribute some points, play some good defense and whatnot. But I guess what I'm saying is I feel like we have about as equal chance as we did last year and in 2019.
That's why the parallels for me asking the question when Tyler and I were talking about this before the show, Brian. So I wanted to ask to see where people were because it was really evident, right, how people felt going into that one. This one is just a little bit different. It's just a little bit different, but the path is, if we're only talking about the Eastern Conference Finals first, because you got to get past the second round after all these years, it seems like it's there for him just like it was for those other two.
Absolutely. And, I'm going to be at game one Saturday, so I'm definitely excited for that.
Make sure you stop by and say hello to me and Bob, man.
I'll make sure of that for sure. But I think it's going 7. Nick Nurse is a great coach, and they know exactly the kind of ball that they want to play. But I guess the best question, because there's only really one major difference, in my opinion, is who do you like best? Because in my opinion, 2019 was the most devastating. I mean, losing on a quadruple doink in Game 7, just absolutely devastating. But it basically comes down to who did you like better? James Harden, so far that with what we have, and hopefully he's going to continue to and get better and whatnot, get more healthy, but James Harden versus Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler was great for us in 2019.
Yep.
But, I think most people would still pick James Harden. I know there's the, playoff woes and all that, but, just player for player, I think I'd still rather have Harden.
And we talking both healthy?
If both are healthy, I don't think it's a question. But,
right.
What Jimmy Butler does on defense, and, you could argue the leadership as well for him. I mean, he's still going to just average 25-5 or something like that. You figure in the playoffs it might be 25-8-6 or something like that. We're like, if Harden's, full go, I mean, we know what this man can do. I don't know if he is, but I think just having Harden and Maxey is such a blessing now with Embiid to where, sure, you can double team him, but you can't hold Maxey and Harden both under 20 points. And if Harden's going to be dishing it and running the pick and roll and Maxey's shooting the three the way he's shooting it this year with third in the league, I think, in
second
3-point percentage.
I think he ended up second. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're going all the way. I think that's kind
of I think we can get that. We can revisit this later. But yeah, for right now, for what you're talking about, for what we're simply talking about, absolutely, I agree with you that
like we should win in six. But I think
you should, yes. Yeah, but I do think it goes seven. So,
yeah, they play tough defense. They rebound. And you know what? We're like in the Embiid era. I think I looked that up. It was, you know, not that Embiid has all the impact on a game, but since, you know, Brown and Rivers included, we're 2-5 in the Embiid era in game one. So I'm not feeling too hot about this game one appearance here.
That's why you got to take both of these, man. You got to knock that out. Can't have that hanging over anymore. Let's give you a question, B.
All right. See if I can help the team.
Got it.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to, we've been talking about some of these teams after the finals appearances. So let's go to the year after the Sixers made an appearance in the NBA Finals in 2001. We'll go to the 2001-2002 NBA season. The Sixers failed to win a playoff series the following year, losing 3-2 in a best-of-five series to which team?
Oh, God, this is going to kill me because it's one or the other, but I'm going to go with the Indiana Pacers.
Not the Pacers.
Oh, no.
Devon.
Can you run it again?
Yeah, so in 2001-2002, the year after the Sixers went to the NBA Finals, they failed to win an NBA playoff series, losing 3-2 to which team?
Oh, man. That was the following season. They lost. It was 3-2?
Yes.
Man, I love those 5-game series. Right, Brian?
I think they're better.
Yeah. You got this one, man. I have one other guess.
2004, you said 2001, 2002.
Correct.
In round one? Who did you guess?
Pacers. I was wrong.
Oh, I forgot.
There's only 12 other options. Or 13 other options.
Milwaukee?
Was... The Boston Celtics.
Celtics. Oh, that was the Celtics.
Walker.
That exactly the shimmy. The shimmy. That was Walker. That's when they were up by like 50 in one game.
Yeah. That was ugly.
That was B. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Always, man. Good to catch up. Yeah. And you know me. Not a Celtics guy, and certainly...
Hold on, the Sixers lost by 50 in a game?
It was either 40 or they were down by 40 or down by 50 in one of those games. What year was that? You said which one?
01-02.
All right. Trying to see how I can go back.
I got you.
Go 01-02. Nah, I remember they were just getting rocked. Rocked in Boston. So it might have been an elimination game.
So they lost game 5, 120-87. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a 33-point loss.
And I think at some point it was at 40.
So it was after 2, it was 59-47. And the Celtics ended up winning the fourth quarter 43-20. So I'm assuming at some point it got stretched pretty badly.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, and I mean, the Garden was going crazy.
Paul Pierce had 46.
The Garden was going crazy. How much did Twan Walker have?
I don't know. He led the game in rebounds, though.
Okay.
Let's see. He had Boston. Let's see. He had made 20. Made 11 of. He was 11 of 22. Hit 26.
All right, they went nuts though, and he was shimmying and all that stuff, and it was frustrating. It was absolutely frustrating. Okay, yeah, Boston. Man, I forget that one. All right, let's go to the phone 610-632-0975. Then we'll talk about James Harden, what he had to say, Dan in Northeast Philly. What's up, Dan?
Yo, Devon, what's going on, man?
What's happening, man? How you been?
Not bad. Enjoying a nice drive down the old Garden State Parkway right now.
There you go.
Yep. But anyway, wanted to bring something up here. First off, there's about two people who talk basketball for their living. Oh, obviously, it's not the only sport you talk, but two people that talk basketball a lot and that I can only listen to, and it's you and J.J. Redick.
Oh, man. Thank you.
You guys have an appreciation for the game and you don't lie to yourself about it. You tell it how it is, right?
I try to be honest with what I see, how I feel, and objective and fair about it all, whether it's the Sixers or the Boston Celtics. I just try to be as honest as I can. Dan, I appreciate that, man. I love listening to J.J. Redick and what he has to say. And he's a great addition to ESPN because he challenges all of those people.
Oh, yeah, those people, of course. But
and I mean the national people. That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, I got you. Anyway, but see, I've learned a little bit from you guys because I always lied to myself, right? When we were going through the years of going in the playoffs with Simmons on the roster, me and my friends, I almost lost friendships over it because I would back Simmons up so much. But those days are over with. I'm done. What I'm going to say now is that I'm going to be honest with myself, and this team, I don't see it. I don't see it this year. After, obviously, the first two with Embiid and Harden, we love them. They're great basketball players, fantastic NBA ball players. But after that, I feel like none of our guys are proven, and we're going to run into a ton of trouble. It might not be Toronto. I think we can get past Toronto. And you might hate this too, but I think Atlanta can give Miami a tough time. And I think Atlanta might give us some struggles again. That's a good roster.
No, it's a good roster. They're deep. They're deep.
It's not a player I want to see again.
Who's not?
Trae Young.
Trae Young, yeah. Yeah, you don't. But guess what? A little revenge wouldn't hurt.
I love some revenge.
whoever comes out of that one, and look, you're right. Atlanta may get a little scare to Miami. But in the end, I think Miami comes out of that series. But Miami is deep. They have shooters. They have guys who are athletic. They are interchangeable. They have stars who are team players. They have a lot of really good stuff. And they're coached by Eric Spoelstra. So, they're really good. But I do think the Sixers do. I think they match up well with Miami, though.
Spo's the man. I wanted to ask you kind of a funky little question about the playoff system.
What you got?
All right. So you play the 82-game season, right? And then you get your seeds 1 through 8. The top 8 in each conference make the playoffs. But then instead of, like, 1 playing 8, 2, 7, yada, yada, you go into a draft, and then the first seed can pick their opponent in the first round. And that's the way that the bracket is set up. What are your thoughts on that? So one would take a pick, two would take a pick,
and of course they'll probably pick a 16 seed or 8 seed and just the worst of the 8 seed. How do you determine? All right, so I guess they're tiebreakers in terms of the 2-1 seeds and who gets the first pick.
No, so it would be East and West still.
So you wouldn't combine things. Okay.
No.
The only reason I'll disagree is because there are only 8 teams. If we're talking at this point where you're combining both and there's 16, then maybe you have something there. But when there are only 8, no, I'm not on that one.
Gotcha.
It's a good idea, though. I actually don't dislike that idea.
I thought it was a funky little concept.
Yeah, I don't dislike that idea. Dan, you want a question for the Sixers trivia?
Definitely.
Let's do it. Family game night, Sixers trivia. Dan, here's Tyler.
All right, here is your question. Well, let's go the 2 years prior, I should say. Let's go 2 years prior. We're talking about that Pacers team that the Sixers had to get the hurdle to get over to get to the NBA Finals. Well, in 1999 and 2000, that was the second of two back-to-back years that they lost to the Pacers in the NBA playoffs. That series prior, though, in 1999 and 2000, they beat a team 3-1 in a best-of-5 series. Who did they beat in the 1990-2000 playoffs?
The Sixers or the Pacers?
The Sixers.
Who did they beat in 2000?
It was the first round of the NBA playoffs.
In the first round, 2000. Let me take a wild guess here. The Orlando Magic?
That was a good one. Can you give me the year again?
Yes. 1990-2000. So it was the spring of 2000.
So it was before the championship.
Correct. They lost to the Pacers that year in the second round.
Was it Charlotte?
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, thanks, man, and again for the kind words. Thanks for calling, man. Really appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Who, hold on. Sixers in what? In this series?
This series, I think we'll probably lose the game in Toronto. Hopefully we win the home. Get me 5 or 6.
Okay.
Yeah, give me 6.
Sixers and six? You got it, man. Dan, thanks again, man. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Talk soon.
You got it. Thanks, man. Yeah, the Charlotte team.
How did you pull that one out?
I remember it because I remember the weird play Iverson had in the lane. He had a steal. He did like a 360 in the lane for a layup. I remember that one. I hate David Wesley, by the way. Sports hate. So I remember them playing against him, and I was glad they destroyed them. Was Baron Davis on that team at that time? It was either Baron Davis and or Jamal Mashburn on that squad.
Charles Johnson wasn't still on that team, right?
Who?
Charles Johnson.
For
Charlotte?
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson
was already in New York.
Okay.
At that point. Yeah, I remember it was Charlotte. Yeah, I hated David Wesley, so. What was that? I think that was the Paul Silas.
You know what the recurring theme in these questions has been? If you don't know, just guess Boston or Indiana. It seems to work.
Yeah. Yeah, but Charlotte for sure. All right, Lou, hang on. Oh, we haven't heard from Lou in a while. So hang on, Lou. How the Sixers would make a deep run. I would love to hear this one because I'm sure a lot of people would love to hear this one. How the Sixers make a deep run. 9:45, the leftovers with Tyler Zuli. And I'll tell you what James Harden had to say about the playoffs and the pressure. Is there any? Well, I'll tell you when we get back. Final segment, Thursday night, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.975 The Fanatic 9:31, final segment for us here tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tomorrow, the eve of game one, start of the playoffs, Sixers, Raptors, 6 o'clock, right here, Saturday, 97.5 The Fanatic. It's going to be a blast. We're broadcasting live from inside the center with Bob Cooney, beginning at 4 o'clock, following Tyler Zuli, who's on from 12 to 4. So noon to 4, Tyler will lead into us. We will get you into the game, and it will be a blast. And I'll be also anchoring the pre and post for the Sixers. And then we'll go in the post for until about 10 o'clock as well. So see how it all goes. Hopefully we're talking about a win, how they got it done, why they are up 1-0, and looking to, of course, take a 2-0 lead in the game on Monday, also at the center. Tyler will give us the final Twitter poll once we get closer to the end of the show. But right now, let's go to Lou and Penn Salkin, as promised, and I'll give you the Harden comments as well. What's up, Lou?
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
How you doing, man? It's been a long time.
Hey, how y'all feeling? Oh, man, it's been a while, but yeah, I always enjoy your show, bro.
Thank you, man.
Here's the thing. As long as Joel Embiid is on your team, a deep playoff run and a championship run begins and ends with his dominance. And I don't mean him being good. He has to be dominant. And he has to be the best player in every series. I don't care if Giannis is in your series. I don't care if Durant. And he has that capabilities. And here's another thing that he has to realize. He has to be unapologetic with his size and his physical play down low. Sometimes if we get into a point in a game where we're struggling, take your behind down low and punish them, and you know what I mean, and get to the line and make sure that, you know what I mean, that you let them know that you're the most dominant player, because they have no answer. There's nobody on Toronto that can guard him. Nobody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he has to. See, the one thing I love about Giannis, the reason why Giannis has a championship and the Embiid doesn't, because Giannis is relentless. He is relentless. He's going to impose his will no matter what. And it's because when you talk about skill, Giannis is not even the same galaxy as skilled as Joel Embiid. He is not even in the same galaxy. And Joel Embiid can be the most dominant player in every series. I don't care who's in the NBA, but he has to be that guy, and he has to be on the court. Here's real quick. When that Toronto series, do you, when we lost that one, you know, the game seven, right? People fail to realize when Joel Embiid was on the court in that series, the Sixers were plus 100.
Yeah.
People don't understand that. Plus 100. That's more than 12 points a game.
I think that's
when
weird.
He's on the court.
That's,
the problem was
yep.
is that he missed the game, and he wasn't in shape. And you know what I mean? He wasn't in shape.
No.
We lost that series not because of Ben Simmons. We lost that series because Joel Embiid wasn't in shape.
Right.
And he even said that.
No, he did. He pointed out, but he also played good enough where he was able to do the stuff that he did to be a plus 100. But at the end, you needed him to be at his best,
and he
wasn't. So that hurt him. Yep.
Real quick, bro. Just like Frank Vogel, I'm gonna shout this from the rooftops. We have never seen an offensive player like Joel Embiid ever in the history of the NBA. You know why I say that? Because he can score in all three levels, he can power, and also he can post, he has post moves, he can doggone power you to the ball, to the basket and dunk on you, he can shoot the three, he has the floater, he can shoot on both sides of his sides, he can hit the step back jumps, he has everything.
Yes, he does.
I've never seen, people don't really appreciate, watch that man, you've never seen, and I've been watching basketball since the 70s, you've never seen an offensive player like Joel Embiid. Never. And no, you can't give me no Durant, because Durant is not a post player and he's not a power guy. This guy can do every single thing on the basketball court, on the offensive end.
Yes, he can.
Everything.
Yes, he can. That's
but
what,
he has to, he has
that's
to
what makes
show
him
it.
Special. So when you talk about imposing his will, and I agree with you with the imposing the will, he does do that, but then he drifts away because he's so skilled and he kind of does it in a different way. Are you bothered by him doing that? Because that... When he's mid post, they can't stop him there either.
Oh,
and it's more difficult to double team him there, of course, because he can see over top of the defense and then be a playmaker.
You're absolutely correct. But here's what I'm saying. I'm not going to say what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you what Matisse Stiebel says, who watches him every day. He said, I wish he would go down to the post more because there's nobody can deal with him. That's what Matisse said.
Well, let's see. When you talk about
nobody
what you,
can deal with
when you
nobody.
Talk about what happened in 19 in the playoffs against the Raptors and not being as dominant, he was dominant against Boston when they got swept in the bubble. Not his fault. Last season... He was dominant, but then he did silly stuff where he turned the ball over. He missed a layup, too, in game four, which could have helped him in that game. I wonder when we talk about all the growth, all the maturity, if he sees where he has to do things a little differently here as well, taking that next leap in
Thank
his
you.
Playoff progression and that be a part of it when we talk about this playoff
quick,
run.
You're absolutely correct, Jamon, because here's real quick. What was the narrative before Milwaukee won last year? That Giannis couldn't do it because he didn't have a jump shot.
Yeah.
You're never going to win without a post with a unless he's a perimeter player. Wasn't it the narrative before last year? You know what? Be who you are and be unapologetic
about
who you are.
Well, he always says, "I just want to be dominant, and if you're in front of me, I'm going to score you." That's why he said he talked junk to people because he didn't care. If your feelings are hurt, I'm not here to hurt your feelings. I'm simply here to do my job. And if your feelings are hurt by it, then, you know, then that's just your problem. Exactly. Yo, so give us a series. Give us a series prediction, please.
I'm saying 6-6.
Okay, cool. I got 6-7. And you'll be our final one family game night Sixers trivia.
All right, Lou, here's your question. Let's go back to 1976-1977 season. The Sixers lost to the Portland Trailblazers in the NBA Finals 4-2. But before that, they won the conference finals 4-2. Who did they beat to get to the NBA Finals?
Oh, wow.
This was 77, you said?
76-77.
Wow, I'm going to be guessing on this one.
I was like five. You said they won the conference finals.
Yes, they lost to the Blazers in the finals.
Wow. Could have been the who was good back then?
I have one sleeper in mind.
Was it, wow. I know it wasn't the Celtics.
I promise you it was not the Celtics this time.
I know it wasn't the Celtics. Was it the, Bucks?
It's not the Bucks.
So I have one in mind that's like a little off the cuff.
Okay.
Isn't it off the cuff?
I would say so.
Washington?
It is not Washington. It's a little bit of a trick question, guys, because conference realignment happened about a decade later. This team now plays in the Western Conference. It was the Houston Rockets.
Wow, I don't remember.
Wow.
Was that the Moses Houston Rockets team? That must have been the Moses, right, Lou?
Yeah. Wow, that's
a good one. That's a good one. Hey, man, good to hear from you. Enjoy the games.
All right, man, take care.
We'll talk. You got it, man. That's a good one, Ty. Yeah.
Yeah, they actually, in the late 70s.
How about that?
In the late 70s, had a couple of series where they played teams that are now in the Western Conference before the finals. In 78, 79, they played a seven-game series in which they lost game seven to the Spurs, who were, I guess, also an Eastern Conference team at the time.
Hmm. That's a good one. Yeah, you got me on that one. All right, so what did I win?
You ended up winning 5-1.
5-1.
Yeah, 5-1.
Okay, 5-1. All right, cool. Twitter poll. Let's get the final results in the Twitter poll, and then I'll tell you what James Harden said in a conversation with Complex Sports.
Yeah, so the question today was, which of these three teams heading into the finals, or heading into the playoffs, I should say, did you feel the most confident in before the playoffs started? So we do have about 10 minutes. You got an opportunity still to vote on this thing. But there are a little under 570 votes on this question. And 63% of the votes say the 2019 team. That would, of course, be the team with Jimmy Butler. 24% say last year's team. They were the one seed, had a good opportunity. That's what I said. You said the Butler trade. The Butler team, excuse me. And then just 13% say this year's team.
All right. You got it. We appreciate everybody for voting. There on 97.5 The Fanatic. Certainly always appreciate that. Let me see here. James Harden spoke to Complex Sports. We'll get to the leftovers in 4 minutes. He spoke to Complex Sports, and one of the things that really stood out with one of his quotes was asked about, it was speaking about in search of his first title. And with many narratives out there, I'm reading from the story, on his play of late, Harden told us he has nothing to prove entering this postseason with Philly. Here's the quote. I don't have anything to prove. I don't feel any pressure. I don't feel any of that, Harden says. For me, it's going out there and playing my game, trying to help my team win, end quote. Well, the only problem with that is that you haven't won. You've been to the finals once with the Oklahoma City Thunder, which was very, very early during your run there in your career. Something to prove it doesn't define, championships don't define careers as we know, but something to prove, you kind of do, because while you've had some good games in the playoffs, some really good games in the playoffs, unfortunately, when we talk about some of the empty numbers that we see from Tobias Harris, like right during the regular season, he has had some really bad showings, James Harden, in the playoffs. So having something to prove, feeling pressure is one thing, but knowing that you need to prove, especially coming here to this new city, why they made the trade for you, I actually think he does have something to prove.
What does he have to prove?
He has to prove that he is able to play in a big spot.
To who?
To everybody. To everybody.
I mean, what do you mean by playing a big spot? His numbers have been good.
But he hasn't won.
But this is a team sport.
It is a team sport, but you're the best player.
What else
does
he
do? It falls on your shoulders. He can score better. He cannot shoot.
I mean, what?
Three for 15 so from three.
That game was terrible.
But he has multiple.
I thought you were talking about the game against the Rockets.
That's the one game against the Rockets. I mean,
he was awful in that game. We all agree. But by the way, they won that game.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of him. It was because Josh Smith.
No, I agree. They were not. He wasn't good.
Right.
But what I'm saying is his numbers in the past. Oh, he never does anything in the playoffs. His numbers are good in the playoffs.
That's what I said. I said he's had really good games, but in the bigger spots when it was a game seven, a closeout, when Chris Paul goes down.
Right.
And they have a 3-1 series lead on the Golden State Warriors. You're supposed to close that out. Now, while this is a different situation, this is why you were brought here to be that player, to make sure that you are that supporting player to Joel Embiid.
Well, and that's what I'm going to ask you. Are you asking him to be the number one? Because I think that's a fallacy.
I am asking him to be a one in one game where he wins them a game as a number two.
I don't know if he can ever have the opportunity to.
Well, I mean,
Embiid's the one every time they take the court.
Yes, but as a game flows and goes, you can tell who is the guy that night. And Joel is more likely than not going to be that. But if Harden has it going, they're going to find Harden. They're going to tell him, yo, keep going. Keep going. Why wait? If Embiid has it going and Harden has it going, but Embiid has been doing it the way he's been doing it and Harden has not, or just as a team sport, you're helping your guys out, why wouldn't I want him to keep that hot hand and going? And I'll get to Embiid when I get to Embiid. Of course, throw things off, see if they're going to double team him. But I'm certainly going to see if Harden can wear them out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want him to stop attacking if he's playing well, but I don't think that from a legacy standpoint, he owes anybody anything at this point.
Okay. All right. Interesting stuff, though, in this story. So,
does Kevin Durant, without being on Golden State?
No, but see, I'm different because I feel different than a lot of people.
I agree with you. Fair? I'm just asking, like,
can I answer that question?
Sure.
Because I felt differently than a lot of people when he went to Golden State.
I agree with you.
He won.
You go win.
And he won in those big spots. He hit shots. He went toe-to-toe with LeBron James when LeBron James was LeBron James and beat him. So, no, I don't think Kevin Durant has anything to prove. No.
So then does Kyrie? Because he's never won without LeBron.
Yeah, because he's also had opportunities where he should have done it in Boston.
Okay.
And he blew that thing up. And now here where he's also. So yeah, I just think is some interesting things said here. And, you know, I was fine with the deal, having him come to Philadelphia. I think he will help out most certainly during this playoff run. You need him to be. Embiid will win you two. James Harden will win you one. James Harden will have to be the best player. Just like we saw in that game against Charlotte. He was the best player on that floor with that 29, all the other stuff that he did, and they scored 144 points. I'm not asking him to do that against Toronto. I'm just simply saying he should get you one where Embiid will get you two, and collectively they'll get that final one where others step up too, and Doc Rivers just simply coaches a good game. All right, Ty, it's 9:46. We went long talking about James Harden. Let's get to it. Leftovers.
Yeah, we know that the play-in games have been happening over the last couple of days. Well, you saw the celebration that took place in Minnesota after the Timberwolves beat the LA Clippers on their home court. Guys jumping up under the press table and things like that. Well, Pat Beverly's been fined $30,000 for his trash talk to the LA Clippers at the end of the game in which he used, quote, egregious use of profanity in post-game comments to the news media and on social media. He routinely said, take their blank home. You can fill in the blank. And then said, long flight back to L.A. Again said it. But then he followed up by said that they're weak, fill in the blank Clippers, and to get the bleep out of here. So he's been fined $30,000 for his comments. This is actually the second time in a matter of about a week that Pat Beverly's been fined. He was fined $25,000 for improper conduct towards a game official after he received a technical and was ejected on a game last Tuesday. So he's been fined for $55,000 over the course of the last 9 days.
Here's the thing. My friend Michael Lee from the Washington Post said this perfectly. The NBA needs to kind of lay off of stuff like this. They're in the heat of the moment. They're passionate of what they're doing. They're saying things. As long as they're not going on a tirade, as Mike said, so what? You know what I'm saying? So what? He said some things, some colorful words. You know how many times colorful words are used on the floor? Just let the guys talk as long as they're not going crazy. And they're all into the game. It's an emotional game. They put a lot into the game.
I also think
it's
too,
a bit much.
I understand that there is a platform, and we don't do it because we have the FCC, and obviously we don't want to lose our jobs. But I think that there is an acceptance of curse words in most
certain words.
Right, of course. I don't mean anything that's like racially charged or homophobic or, you know, anything like that. What I meant is, like, you know, the use of, like, and again, we don't curse on this show, but the use of, like, ASS. I know we can use that on the airwaves. We're not going to, I don't do it here. But, like, stuff like that is, it's become far more just conversational in, you know, using it as, like, almost like a filler word, if you will. And not that the platform is, I don't believe, and that's why you never hear you and I curse on these airwaves, but, like, there are certain words such as that that, like, come on, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, and even, I can see Pat Bev going far with his words, but again, think about what they're doing. I mean, they're in the heat of the moment. You know, emotions are running super high. They just did what they did.
In the grand scheme of things, like, he used one word one time that was not FCC regulated. Like, he used the F word one time.
By the way, we can read their lips so many times, and they say so many crazy things, and they don't get fined. So when are you choosing to do so?
All right, so we have another sports story, but I want to get to this one. This is non-sports. It's pretty wild. I know that you're not in on this at all. Neither am I. The NFT scene that's kind of taken over the world. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how you feel about them. But you know Jack Dorsey, correct? The creator of Twitter and other things. He sold his first tweet ever as an NFT for $48 million. I don't get NFTs, but he made $48 million. A entrepreneur, Sina Estavi, listed the NFT, which that person bought. I apologize. I don't know who Sina Estavi is. They bought for $48 million. They listed it and said they were going to sell it in an auction, and they were going to give up to 50% of the proceeds that they made to a charitable organization. Here's the problem. After buying the NFT for $48 million, Sina Estavi, the highest bid that this person got was $277.
Oh, man. Oh, that's cold. That's bad. That's it?
$277. Bought it for $48 million. Got an auction of $277.
No good.
It's a little bit of a net loss.
Yeah.
ROI not very strong.
A little off. Just a little bit.
Real quick before we get out of here, Penn State basketball adding two all-conference transfers and local ties. Bucknell guard Andrew Funk and Drexel guard Cameron Winter will be joining Micah Shrewsbury's team next season.
All right. Good luck to them, man. Getting some players in there. I love the transfer portal.
That's what we have for our leftover.
Like the transfer portal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think players should be allowed to do whatever they want. Coaches can.
Yep, 100%. Did you see what Dabo Sweeney said the other day?
I don't like that guy. I don't care about him. I don't listen to him anymore.
But he was talking about...
He's a creep.
You know, hey, we didn't come in to make money. Okay, dude. Sure you didn't. All right, man.
He's a creep.
We'll be back tomorrow for Draft Line Side tomorrow beginning at 6. Thanks, everybody, for checking in and participating, listening, tweeting, and calling. We'll check in with you tomorrow night right here, 6 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night. Totally gone. All right. Yeah, they were down... They were in one of those games.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.